Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Hi, Neil.
Hi.
And getting started today a little late on our show, so we apologize. And what we are going to be doing today is taking your calls for readings on the air and discussing our topic. What is our topic? Life versus life?
Your body or your life.
Your body or your life. And normally we start by discussing our topic, but today I think we're going to take a caller first and then get into our topic. We've been mixing it up a little bit, so sometimes it works a little better to take callers first. We do want to invite our callers to join us on Blog Talk Radio. You may follow us here, follow our show. You can send us a friend request on Facebook, follow us, like Neil Baker Psychic, join us on Twitter. There's all kinds of options. Our call-in number for today, 914-338-0164. Callers, press 1 if you would like to speak with us. 1 raises your hand. That would be helpful because we'll know that you want a reading. 562-596-7818 is the number to call for more conversation after the show. Okay, let's bring on our first caller, 954. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Valerie.
Oh, hey, Valerie.
7/20/64.
Yeah, you're July 20th. I'm not going to forget
what
that. 64. Because we're right next to each other.
Yeah.
No, she's 7/20/64. Our birth dates are a day apart.
Well, I'm probably many years ahead of you, but.
Yeah, we're a different year, but still, the month and day are close.
Right.
They're close. Happy holidays, Valerie.
Same to you. Same to you both.
Can you talk right into that phone because it's tough to hear you?
All right. Is that better?
A little. It's not great, but I don't know the volume on here. Not good either. So what's new?
Well, I kind of had a question about dreams.
Okay.
Because in the last, I guess, month, I had a dream of two childhood friends, dads, that I know her past. One passed very recently, and I was going to visit the house, the home, to express my condolences and see her mom. And he was alive, and I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a minute, you're supposed to be passed, and he was just fine and, you know, alive and well. So, and the other one was a little creepier where I knew the dad had passed, and I'm thinking, well, why is she talking to him? My friend was in the dream, too. And then he, like, came after me to, like, kill me or something odd. But it was a little weird.
That's not nice.
But I'm just wondering, do you think that the most recent one there, that he's fine? Like, is that just, he didn't really say anything, but do you think that that's just to say, you know, I'm well on the other side here, or just curious.
Well, you mean the first, you're thinking
the
that
one
maybe
where
he
I just visited
the
home and I knew he was passed. It's just weird that I kind of knew these people were passed in my dream and going, well, why am I seeing them alive? So
right. I mean, sometimes, you know, that happens in dreams where you will go into the astral realm and confer with people that were involved in your life before that have crossed over. Sometimes they're psychological. I mean, I would venture to guess the first one, she might have had an astral. What do you think, Neil?
Well, first of all,
when you look at a dream, you define a dream on two levels. One, it's a purely psychological dream, or the dream could be that you actually left your body and your astral body is experiencing things on the astral realm and your physical body asleep is recording those scenes. Probably in both cases, you have experienced an astral dream. I don't believe these are psychological dreams because we can't have those. Mm-hmm. And, you know, truthfully, we don't remember most of our dreams. We're not, our brains aren't coded to remember. So we usually have dreams in more of our light states of sleep, or we wake up during a dream so we can quickly retrieve it. But most of our dreams, we don't remember. Mm-hmm. And one reason for that is because the brain isn't equipped. There's no compartment in the brain is really equipped for that kind of thing. Now, that's to the exception of those who have very vivid recall. But the other reason is because we're not really created to remember. Most of us don't remember our past lives. We don't remember our life on the astral realm. We come into the earth with some sort of barrier between us and omniscience, or pure recollection. But what I'm determining is that both of your dreams, Valerie, were based on a astral travel. In the first case, you went to your astral body went to this person's home. And when you were there, your astral body, which is still connected to your living body, encountered his astral body, which is not connected to his living body because the silver cord is broken. But for some reason, his spirit still is in residence, if you will, in the house.
Okay.
Now,
so he's still
He did pass in the home. He did pass in his own home.
Yeah. Well, you see, that there, I wasn't made known
aware
of that information. And so
yeah.
I'm saying you're validating it. Now, there are two things about a spirit being in a home, or a soul spirit being in a home. One is a residual. The residual energy leaves an impression, like your fingerprint leaves, a kind of a smeary mark or a blurry mark, and then it disappears. So the residual energy of a soul or spirit in a home doesn't necessarily mean that the soul or spirit is actually in the home. It's a residual energy which can operate to some degree with life. It's like a tail flapping after you cut it off a lizard. There's some life left. And so for a brief moment in astral conception, the idea that you could have encountered his soul or spirit as a residual energy is possible. That's one. You know, they even say when you're decapitated, the head itself can still register some consciousness. That's why they hold up the head to the audience in the old days. Well, but only for a brief time because there's oxygen. Well, there's still energy in the soul and spirit when it leaves the body, and it can, as it transcends, stay within the environment of where it actually passed. I believe that this spirit is actually residing somehow in the home. There must be something that is keeping the soul there for a while. I'm not sure if the person died prematurely and their normal lifespan still had some life in it. The soul could be locked in the confines of the home until that time, being that the person may have died under unnatural circumstances like alcohol or some drug-induced thing or
He was like 82, so I think that was.
He was 82.
Why did he die? What did he die from?
I think he had a long illness of. He was a smoker and a drinker, so
oh,
I don't know if it was cancer or something. I'm not quite sure.
Probably.
Yeah, he was 82, so we have a natural life.
Mm.
But the way that
unnatural.
He ends his life. Well, 82 would be a natural life.
Right,
of,
but
of
the
di-
smoking and the drinking
yeah.
is not a natural way to end a life, even if maybe he would have lived to 92. I mean,
well,
so.
It's just not the point. The point, not the 92 is the point.
No,
the 82 is sufficient.
The alcohol and
the alcohol,
smoking is the problem.
Correct. The alcohol and the smoking contributed to the energy of his life, and that was probably rooted to something even darker in tone, which this individual is still somehow confined to the home while it's working out the energy of its previous life, meaning the life it just led. Mm-hmm. And so there's some sense that it's kind of stuck at the airport. The
okay.
flight's been canceled. And you
yeah.
went there and encountered the energy. Now, the energy towards you would have been loving because obviously there was some loving connection between the two of you and it being a childhood friend. You know, there's a vast difference between the two of you, 30 years. How does it come about that there's 30-year difference?
This is a friend she already explained. She's the friend's
A high
father.
School friend.
Friend's father. Oh, the friend's father. Okay, so I
yeah.
see. Did you have a lot of connection with the father?
I mean, I used to go to the home when in high school, like, you know, for lunch or something. But, I mean, I hadn't seen the man in years. No, we weren't.
Okay.
We really weren't
so
that
Valerie,
close.
Because
yeah.
the readings are brief, I pick up things
yeah.
real quick. I don't mean to interrupt
okay.
you, but I
no,
get
no,
things
no,
real
go
quickly.
Ahead.
Did the friend have any kind of problem in life with any kind of illness or sickness or accident while you knew her?
Not that I can think of, no. I haven't had a whole lot of contact with her. She's just on social media right now.
Uh-huh. Did you have any harsh encounters with the friend during your friendship?
Nothing specific that I can
nothing
think
specific.
Of. Nothing.
But can I interject something? Because sometimes,
sure.
you know, Valerie's been a longtime listener of our show. Mm-hmm. And perhaps the spirit, you know, if there's a human in spirit form, they may be aware of her connection to someone that, you know, can communicate. So that may be why.
Well, the only where I'm going with this is the father's smoking and alcoholism could have affected your friend's upbringing to some degree. So
mm-hmm.
maybe you're not informed of everything that went on between your friend and her father, but
sure.
the father has, huh?
I agree. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You agree with that one. So the father has some karma to deal with. You entering the home, the father would love you because you're a friend of the friend of his daughter and your energy is nothing to be disturbed about. So you're okay. But what happened? Did you have the second dream after the first dream?
That was the second dream. The first dream was a friend's dad who I have an issue with that girl. We haven't spoken. I was in two of her weddings, and then she just, we don't communicate anymore. She's just too intense for me.
Well,
and
that
was
the killing dream.
Coming after me.
That's connected, obviously,
yeah.
to the relationship with the friend
okay.
in the rock.
Yeah.
So that was the first dream. So we figured out the second dream, and you had, you know, the energy of what you were doing in that home and what the father was trying to convey to you, I think was partially out of love, but partially out of the idea that the father's still dealing with some karma and is probably still enthralled with the earth to such an extent that the soul hasn't transcended. So you experienced that. The first dream, is different because that's a tribal dream. Your
mm-hmm.
your confrontation and kind of dislocation of trust or heart or passion with your friend was a result of not only these earth circumstances regarding the weddings and whatnot, but
mm-hmm.
extended back to a tribal dislocation, a tribal rival. So that probably on a tribal level, back in the tribal days, in a past life, there was violence that occurred within the tribe, which, you know, wouldn't have taken anybody to a court of law, but within the tribal rules and regulations, probably it was a death. Sometimes those deaths are committed out of passion or anger or some such thing, which obviously continued into this lifetime and finally surfaced. So the father is hostile towards you on a level of tribal past life connection. Nothing that you need to worry about except
yeah.
that the father is probably still polluted by these issues. You seem to still have some issues with the friend. But so that's, you know, my best suggestion is that you let go of those issues, release yourself from them. If nothing else, just forgive and move on.
Mm-hmm.
And but the father's stuck. the father's very stuck. So you were in the environment of the home, and that's why that happened.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Well,
okay.
Thank you. I don't want to take up too much time on your show.
Oh, no, no. It was. We had time, so it's no problem
okay.
at all. Okay, thanks. All right. Take care.
Great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, let's bring on Cheryl real quick, and then we're going to get into our topic. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I'm not used to you guys coming on Monday, but I'm glad. Anyhow, I'm still not closing this deal over in Simi Valley, so I don't know what's going to happen with it. I've kind of given up, and I guess trust the universe. I don't know what else to do. It's getting frustrating. I guess my question would be, I have a notice to perform I put out. I think they switched with buyers, and there's some kind of loan issue. And tomorrow I can cancel the transaction. I'm just wondering if you think I ought to give it to, like, the end of the week instead of canceling tomorrow. You know.
Well, is this the only property right now you're having trouble with?
Yeah. I mean, I've got one for rent, but I have, like, a bunch of people that have inquired about renting it, and I've got another one. So, yeah, this is the aggravating.
It's the
only more
one. Everything
yeah.
else is going okay.
Yeah.
I can't recall, Cheryl. Why am I getting seven properties around you? What's the seven going on?
More than seven.
I don't know. There could be seven. I mean, my house, my brother's. I don't know. Well, you know, I'm looking at a property on 7th Street.
Ah, that's probably
I thought it was on.
It.
It's 470. There's one. I'm looking at a piece of land that I'm thinking about maybe turning into mini storage. I'm not sure.
Well, how many properties do you have since we're on that topic?
Well, I lost track. I have the one my brother lives in, and then my house, and then,
okay.
boy, Hesperia, and then I have the now three in Sedona. So...
That's six.
That's six. I'm wondering if I'm missing one somewhere.
Not necessarily. You're looking potentially at, like, how many?
And you're looking at one on 7th Street?
Yeah, I thought it was 6th Street, but, yeah, it's a parcel, though. It's a parcel that I want to,
you matter.
Know.
You're still adding the number into the whole mix.
So that
seven.
Would be seven right there.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's happening is you're a little bit in a – it's like you put on all your clothes, everything's right, everything fits right, and you go to walk out and you have a little stone in your shoe. Everything else is fine, but that stone in your shoe is problematic. It's not a big problem, but as long as you're walking on it, it hurts. That's the one prop. Your attire is all fine except for that little stone. That little stone is this property that's giving you problems, which has a little bit of karma connection to it. Now, the radio readings aren't penetrating through to the element of closure with this. So you have two options. You either can do a deeper reading to figure out what's going on and just make sure that there's nothing that is deeper than face value and getting rid of the property, or you just go on your own real estate instincts and your own gut level and take your chances. I mean, you take your chances in both scenarios.
Yeah.
But one, you're using psychic
penetration.
And the other one, you're using your own mind. Either one could work. I don't know. The attitude here, though, should you specifically wait until the end of the week? Well, if it doesn't cost you anything, I mean, it costs, but it doesn't.
Every day. Is a loss. But the thing is, do they really qualify? Because I'm feeling like they keep coming up with excuses, which is normal. When people don't qualify, they try to distract. Okay. So I don't know if they really qualify. Can they get it closed?
Well, wouldn't you know that through escrow?
Well, what happened is their lender, there was two people, and they dropped the second person saying they lost their job and added, like, a father-in-law who's apparently had a good job, but the underwriter's been dealing with it for 2 weeks, and they should know. It's just they should know. So then they went and did a mold test. There was mold, so I had that cleaned up. Now the mold test came out good. Now they were supposed to close, so they want to try to come up with another repair. They keep doing this, so I'm like, are they buying time? Do they even qualify? Do you see it closing?
Well, I think I think they're buying time, and their qualifications are probably questionable, so they are a little bit nervous about it. I don't think they're playing games to the extent that they don't qualify. I think they're trying to qualify and trying to prolong this in order to meet the qualifications that are necessary, because there's outstanding contingencies, especially with the second lender, that might be problematic for them. So they're manipulating you to some extent. And the only thing is, you know, if it's costing you $200-$300 a day, I don't know what it's costing you, but you might, if that's a consideration, let go of it. You know, if that means you have to let go of the entire property and reapply for, you know, somebody else.
Well, they have to, she would have to find another buyer. So it's still on the market.
Rates change. So it's just, you know, are they authentic, or should I just go ahead and cancel tomorrow and get it back out there?
Well, I would, you know, you've given them enough chance, and I would probably cancel tomorrow, give them a 24-hour notice that you're canceling. And if they can't come up within 24 hours with something, consider that everything you've done has been to your merit in the long run. And, you know, no longer extend the contract. Just go cut it off.
On Friday, I gave him 48 hours notice because one of my broker friends said that's how they do it. I gave 24-hour notice that they need to get rid of all contingencies, which frees me for their deposit, and they would get rid of all, but they won't get rid of the loan one, which, you know, and I've fixed so much stuff. I've done so much, and I'm thinking
fine.
I would have never done.
What you fixed is fine. You're the title holder. You're the owner. The idea, I'm not a broker nor a real estate agent, but the idea that I came up spontaneously with a 24-hour notice and the broker, your colleague, the broker, came up with 48-hour notice seems to be psychic and or professional union of consensus. So, you know, you give them the last 48 hours.
Actually,
and
when you're saying it, it's 24 hours from you talking to me right now. You know, tomorrow about at noon is when it expires. So it is 24 hours from you mentioning it.
So there's something psychic there that's impressive to the extent that it might be helping you. And then at the end of that, just let go.
Yeah, I need to let go. I have problems with letting go. It's like, you know, if we're almost there, you know, stubborn people, I don't think do too well in life. So I try to never be stubborn. But there comes a point when you actually have to just say enough.
Yeah.
And not hold on.
I agree.
Yeah. And so that's one of these times where, you know, successful people are bend and flex, and they accept, you know, change, and they work with people. That's part of being successful. So to have to do this, if I think in my mind they're actually going to get it done by Friday and I'm just being a jerk and I could wait 3 days and we can close it, then I want to hang on. Otherwise,
no, it's been
that's
long
kind
enough.
Of what I was.
You know, the 48-hour, now 24-hour suggestion to you by both broker and psychic is the end of the line.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
Cheryl,
what I think.
We've got to get into our topic, but hopefully that helps you.
Yeah, it does. Well, Merry Christmas or whatever you're celebrating, Hanukkah. I'm, you know, happy holidays to both of you, and thank you as always. I'll set up something in a couple weeks, private
okay.
adventure.
All right, Cheryl.
You both.
Okay. Happy holidays
okay.
to you too.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so we haven't even spoken today.
We haven't spoken. It sounds like
we've spoken, but you know, in regard to the
your
life, your body, or your life.
Who's that?
Dramatic.
Strauss.
Dramatic title.
Thus spoke.
Huh?
Thus spoke something with a Z. It's a It's a Nietzsche and not some composer. Okay, I think it was Strauss.
Strauss.
Yeah. Your body or your life? You know, there's a funny joke about with Jack Benny where he's walking down the street in Beverly Hills and it's nighttime and a robber comes up to him and says, "Hey, Mac, your money or your life?" And there's a pause and he says it again. I said, "Your money or your life?" And pause, "Your money or your life?" And Jack Benny retorts back, "I'm thinking it over." Well, the idea is because he was considered, you know, the comic miser. The The idea of body or life comes in pretty significantly in our dialogue, because when you consider, first of all, we have a responsibility to our body. So we have a responsibility to our body in terms of the full-fledged form of life. We were just, you know, we were just dealing with the way bodies are treated. If you treat your body with narcotics and alcohol and cigarettes, you're not honoring the body that God gave you to take care of. So God intends for you to take care of your body, because that is a miracle of life itself. So first of all, yes, we are supposed to take care of our bodies as though they were cherished.
Right, temples.
Temples,
isn't that
absolutely
what they said in the Bible?
So
the body is temple?
Yes, the body is temple. So you take care of the body, you know, that's all on the physicality level.
It's on a physicality level, but it's with a spiritual overview.
Why? Because it occupies the mind, and the mind lives next door to the soul and the spirit.
Right.
So when we talk about your body or your life, a lot of people don't take care of their bodies. And not to say their souls and spirits, because they're somewhat interconnected. Because if you're really taking care of your soul and spirit, you're taking care of your body. It just is a no-brainer. If you really don't have that much consideration for the soul and spirit, or you're in conflict, or you have some kind of existential drama going on about the attitude of body and spirit and soul and all that, and you're not really taking care of your body, well, you're in trouble.
Yeah, and I want to mention something, because recently in our area, Whittier, I think it was, there was an accident. There was a bridal party taking photographs at a park, and a tree collapsed on the bridal party, injuring seven, I guess, a four-year-old girl's in critical condition, and the bride's mother was actually killed. You never know when you're going to get taken. So if you're not, you know, I mean, there's multiple examples of tragedies like this.
Well, and that, you know,
you never know. And if you haven't, you know, met the requirements, the spiritual requirements to take care of your body, much less your spirit, then you're going to be coming back. I mean, what a terrible karma, by the way. It's really disturbing.
Well, let's look at that for a second, since you brought it up, because what happened, the assassin was a tree.
Tree.
And that is life.
Drought.
And that has a route.
And the drought, had, they say, caused the tree to topple.
Fall over then with the rain.
Because the rain.
But,
you know, they say that also there are arborists regularly checking the health of the trees. So, I mean, it's not like it was something that was ignored. It was a eucalyptus tree. But,
very heavy. So,
you know, they didn't detect this problem in the tree, the arborist.
No. Karma on the earth is nothing to be fooling around with. Now, those were, by far, those were innocent bystanders or innocent participants of the wedding. But because there was such a dramatic effect,
can you imagine
occurring,
I mean,
from the
God.
Accident, if you want to call it that, because on some level it's defined as an accident, it's an act of God, it's nature, it's karma, it's justice. You don't know, because we don't know the layers of the soul that ultimately the woman who was fatally injured. We don't know what the layers of her soul were. And if the layers of her soul were divine and pristine and just absolutely wonderful, then there might have just been a payoff somewhere in the karmic element that death was to occur. But that comes from Buddhist consciousness, Christian consciousness. We don't know when our time is up.
And it could have been something that was written prior to her coming into the body.
Could
have been a destiny
factor.
Probably
it was.
I would think so.
Probably it was, because I think the mother was probably more or less a loving mother and was just there
bride.
Enjoying the
Can
moment.
Oh, it's
well,
just tragic. It's horrible. I mean, people die every day in their tragedies every day. So, I mean, but, you know, some hit you harder than others.
Well, that's why between the body and the soul, we really cannot distance ourselves from the body and the soul, because they are interconnected. So in terms of the body, we are protecting our bodies, whether we are the protector or we seek God or angels as being the protector of our bodies. Both are very crucial in terms of the process of karma and how it might occur or hit us beyond our knowledge. So we always, need to sort of somewhat enter an area. Now, they say that...
enter an area, what do you mean, enter
well,
an area?
Well, you know, when you go into a theater, check out the exits. When, before you take
so
off
be
from the plane,
yeah.
they give cautionary advice as to what to do.
You're saying take care of
your,
surroundings.
You know, think about it. We take for granted, because we live in such a comfort zone, most of us, and we're surrounded by technology, and we have civilization to merit our
right.
our
we're
defects.
Not living in mud huts,
yeah.
most of us.
But
at least those of us are listening to our radio show.
Correct. Our primitive ancestors just didn't just stroll out of the cave. Oh, what a happy morning! Oh, what a beautiful morning! Oh, what a beautiful day! They looked around for wild animals. They looked around for intruders. There was never a moment
of rest or where there was laziness in the mind. They were always on alert
yeah.
in this primitive culture because of the dangers.
In the dangers, in the twinkling of an eye.
Right.
You know, beware. Death comes quickly, can come swiftly. And so, you know, I mean, it wasn't that the mother had to go and, you know, lean against all the trees and say, well, you know, and obviously this tree fell in such a way that everybody was scrambling for safety, and the tree was so large that, and the woman was probably not able to maneuver her body well enough to get out of harm's way. But still, you have to look at these things and be aware. I think the attitude is awareness, that if we extend awareness in every moment of our lives, we are not only providing security for our body, but for our soul and spirit as well. And there's nothing wrong. We tend to think being aware is a hazard or a hindrance to our attention span. It isn't. Being aware is vital to our very survival.
So we're talking about, you know, the body being a temple, but, you know, obviously that can veer into a non-spiritual area when we worship the body too much or glorify our bodies too much, you know, get addicted to working out or, you know, become vain.
Well, those are fine. They have specific distances, but they're dead ends to the extent that they don't move into the body's
there's
soul,
no transcendent energy
life.
In vanity, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, someone who has a physicality of purpose and wants to perfect their body, there's nothing absolutely wrong with that. In fact, it's probably to their advantage. But there's a wholeness. There's a wholeness in the attitude that it doesn't, that the bodybuilding doesn't become a worship in itself, because, yeah, it can produce a certain attitude of karma if you're not contributing soul or spirit. Now, for those bodybuilders out there who say this is nonsense, this is ridiculous, well, then there's no attitude, there's no language about the soul and the spirit, and they shouldn't be listening to the show. This show is about body, soul, and spirit. And body or soul is really, they're synonymous, because the soul starts with the body. The soul is inside of the body. So the soul is dependent on the body for the release of karma or the non-release of karma that will be produced while the body is alive. So we have to consider that it's not when we die or how we die. It's the state of who we are when we die. So the state itself is something within us that we have to take care of at all times in order to be prepared for any given moment.
Right, like a tree falling on us.
Like a tree. Or, you
or
know,
being
I've seen
in, you know,
fatal accidents
car
on the road. It
I know.
Happens
Ugh.
Quickly. It can happen quickly. Someone, you know, you have a double line disconnecting you from the opposing driver, and all someone has to do is lapse of attention, not aware.
Well, it's always disturbing to see that, you know, when there are victims on the side of the road from an accident. I've passed many where there's, you know,
yeah,
casualties.
How many,
horrible.
And how many victims are there as opposed to perpetrators? Usually the victim gets the bad end of the deal. So we're living in a world where we've got to be concerned and about our existence, our very existence. So at least in my world, I extend my thinking to body, mind, and soul. I'm thinking of all three. So God, if God decides to take me at any given moment, I've got all three working on
this. Well, good for you.
Well, good for me. Yeah, because the attitude is we all should think that. To what degree? At least to some degree, you know, that's just like cooking. You either simmer, you boil. You don't know how far the thinking has to go, but sometimes you can't. As long as we're talking about Julia Child here, obviously.
Were we? Didn't remember.
You can't complete.
So Julia Child has come up recently.
Yeah, she
remember?
Has come up. You can't complete some meals until you bring it to a boil. You bring the attitude of your consciousness to a boil to such an extent that you don't separate the body from the mind. Is it body or soul? Or is it both?
Both, I would say.
Because they both
right?
occupy the same concept. And when we get, like I said, when we get to the soul, the body is, that's the requirement of the brain. And that's requirement of the deeper parts of our brain. Sometimes we have to travel back to the primitive parts of our brain to understand what spirituality is, because that's where it started. We seem to think that the advancement of our brain is spirituality. That's technology. That's the advancement of knowledge. That's fine. But to get back
right, and
to the essence is the
ahead.
Back of the brain.
That's something that takes us really further away from spirit. I mean, I don't know, you know, being that I guess I don't have the past life recall to know what it was like, you know, earlier in time, if people were more connected to spirit because the absence of technology. I mean, what do you think, Neil? I mean, in some primitive cultures, yes, there was more involvement of spirit in culture. But, I mean, moving along, you know, past
Myths and our storytellings were more predominantly imposed upon us, and they were connected to paganism, or they were connected to some sort of spiritual or religious philosophy that sometimes binded the tribe, because there was the carrying on of stories and myths and whatnot. But just like medicine, the thought of our technology extends from the first time someone visualized the wheel. And that became a major event in history, because the wheel, the circular wheel, meant that we could, over vast distances of space, create movement that would be instrumental to progress. So that became a unique.
Right, you're saying technology was always involved in society. Yes, I understand that.
It's involved in society because it's involved in the form of the progress of human consciousness.
Right, but I think technology in its advancement in our present day has further divided us from spirituality.
You know, we talk about the ghost and the machine, which is another concept of does a robot think? Can a robot eventually evolve to such an extent due to human technology that it overtakes human consciousness, and the robot becomes the ghost in the machine, the attitude of the thought content of a not a very natural creature? It's a created energy created by man, but created by the consciousness, the seed of man that comes from actually the seed of God. So when we talk about, is there a soul in the machine? Is there a ghost in the machine? Is there life in technology? Yes, there's life in technology, because a lot of life is in regarded to energy and electricity and circuits and whatnot. So the attitude of that has a purpose to it, because everything is on this molecular stage of existence, and there's a part of life in everything we see. Even if it happens to be inanimate.
Oh, we know
more
that spirits and
angels
can use technology too. I mean, they're able to
they
interact on that level.
Sure.
As we know.
Because it's all a part of the expansion of the brain. But when we get to the idea that there's one thing that differentiates us from the ghost and the machine, and that is the soul. A robot can mimic the soul, but I've yet to see a God breathe life into a machine, more or less have technology that is so advanced that it becomes God-like or soul-like. So the attitude of where, if moving and moving forward in time, do we get away from the idea of spirit? To some degree, yes. But scientists somewhat have to get into that empirical world, that scientific data to extract the idea that not all ideas need to be based on myth, storytelling, religion, gods, angels, spirits. This is not part of the element. But the medical symbol.
Yeah, the snake, the snake and the, what is it, a cross?
The
It's the Ouroboros.
is the attitude of the spiritual design of where the origins of medicine comes from. And the two snakes, it's usually two snakes facing each other, is the equation of both male, female, and the divinity of life itself. When we get into the two snakes too, we get into the attitude of mind, body, and spirit.
It's not a cross, it's a wing staff.
It's depicted in different ways.
I've seen a cross with the snakes.
Caduceus,
is that how you say it?
And which is a symbol of Hermes. But the attitude of the position of the division between medicine and science, technology and that versus spirituality and religion, I think that the two are somewhat combined in fashion. So one thing that I obviously is a no-brainer too, we do not take our bodies with us. We don't take them. Our bodies rot, they go into the earth, they burn.
They become dust to dust.
It's dust to dust, or there's cremation. And a lot of times when some psychics say that, oh, I see, and I've said it too, you know, I see this person, they have a patch on their eye, or they have blonde hair, or they're smiling.
You mean when you're communicating with a spirit that is crossed or a soul that is crossed, and sometimes they will show you their human elements they were attached to on the earth, but this is just in the form of making a connection, a human connection.
Yeah.
They're not walking around with a patch on their eye, obviously.
They're not walking. They don't have
bodies.
There's no bodies to speak
but
of.
They may communicate in that way, so you can, you know, make a connection to the person they're speaking with. They may reference the traits they have in the physical realm.
It's correct. And two, what happens is the spirit, the soul, leaves the body, and because of the content of the karma, the soul and the spirit is still attached to the essence of that life.
Right, because we were just talking to Valerie about that. I mean, obviously, this spirit, the first soul in her dream, as you stated, is still connected to the home. I mean, on some level, whether it's an imprint or whether that soul is actually in the astral plane of that home.
Yeah, I think that there is a certain degree that we can purely be enraptured and in love with things of the earth. I think that's very important. And it's some of our values and passions down here. But there's got to be a clarity in the mind that when the, you know, you can't take it with you, the old play. And the attitude that you can't take anything material with you, including the body. It's not going. So we discard. Nature tells us, God tells us, whatever you want to call it, that we are at some point able to discard the body, the pain, the heartbeat, the emotions, everything that comes inside of our body, because we don't take our brains with us either. We take the energy of who we were with us. Now that energy becomes a vibration that is now clearly defined and evaluated on spiritual and soul terms, not on body terms.
Right, but if we fail to treat our bodies right, as we were talking about earlier, or fail to actualize our spiritual essence, then our souls get tied to the earth in many cases when we're out of the body and we're still connected to the earth, and then eventually we're going to have to come back. So that's just it because
the body, the pitch of the body has to include spiritual and soul notes. If the pitch of the body does not include spirit or soul notes, then the soul leaves the body empty. It's like watching a movie without any soundtrack or dialogue. You're just sort of watching figures cross the screen, interact, but there's no content there. It's just visual. Even the silent films had to have the subtitles and the titles that came in. If the soul and the spirit is silent, and there's nothing wrong with the blessed, I'm not talking about the blessed essence of silence. I'm talking about the essence of life in relation to silence. If the soul is silent, then the soul has to go back and collect spiritual and soul information so that upon the next incarnation, there is some evidence of merit
right.
according to the life that it led.
Well, we have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, we
when we're on the planet.
Work,
we really
yeah.
do. And you can't neglect it. I mean, people do neglect, but if you do, yes, you're going to come back, which is not something I want.
Well, yeah. I mean, some people, that's true. I'm in with there with you. I wouldn't want to come back. I don't care to want to come back. I mean, I appreciate the planet, but even the things that I'm appreciating Earth being threatened. The natural world itself is under great duress right now. So
very challenging times coming up.
Very challenging. And the world is in a challenging position. Now, that doesn't mean that we put our head in the sand and we just say, well, some of us do, you know, come back upon election to get re-involved in the earth and to work out our concerns for the planet. Even as the planet progresses in time, there's some people do, you actually can elect to come back to the planet.
Right.
And that becomes of high standing too. But as far as transcending the earth, to me, the best advice I can give our callers and listeners is to put a lot of content into the spirit soul dialogue. Investigate it, research it, discuss it, and not to the point that you have to criticize it or deny it. Because in that passage, there is, you know, but I spoke about you, blah, blah, blah. And the answer is, but I don't know you. So to know the spirit and the soul, I think, is crucial, not just to talk
right.
about
so being aware in our day to day lives of where our attention goes, whether it's on spiritual matters or too much on the body. Obviously, we're going to have matters that pertain to the physical plane. Obviously, but if we go there too much, then
yes.
we're going to be neglecting our spiritual responsibilities.
So is it the body or the soul? Yes, it is the body or the soul, but the body has to be incorporated into the soul to make it complete and to have the story be fulfilled and finalized.
Okay, so we are back on the air on Wednesday for our final show before the holidays begin. Gosh, Hanukkah and Christmas are, I think Hanukkah begins on the 24th this year, right? So that doesn't happen a lot where they're right on the same. Sometimes.
On the same, well, just about on the same. On
Christmas
the same
Eve
token.
Is, you know, obviously an important holiday
for
Christians.
They both, I think the first
coincide.
Day of Hanukkah is actually on Christmas Day.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's the Eve, but the Eve is on the 24th. Just
the
like,
Eve is on the 24th.
Just like Christmas Eve. So they're right in sync this year.
Yep.
Okay, so we will speak with our callers on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks.